Welcome to 3DBPM's Pulse Podcast. This is where we discuss the latest and most advanced, fascinating, powerful, and disruptive additive manufacturing technologies with the people that make them happen. I am your host, Davide Scher, CEO and co-founder of 3DBPM, the leading media, marketing, and market research firm for the ever-changing world of AM. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the 3DBPM Pulse Podcast. This is where we get to speak with additive manufacturing industry pioneers and first movers about their innovative technologies and business strategies. For those who don't know me, I am Davide Scher, co-founder of 3DBPM, journalist and market analyst. 3DBPM is a leading media and market research company that specializes exclusively on the additive manufacturing or AM industry. Our online portal, 3D Printed Media Network, is a leading media platform trusted by AM professionals all over the world for the latest news and actionable insights. We also conduct extensive market research and publish reports on all the core segments and the key verticals of additive manufacturing, with a particular focus on production applications. And that is how we get the latest insights on all the newest technologies, services, and the platforms that are shaping the future of the AM market. Today's episode brings together two companies that represent, at the same time, the history and the future of additive manufacturing, AM Flow and Midwest Prototyping. Midwest Prototyping is a leading AM service provider that started in 2001 with the purchase of a desk and one stereolithography machine. Both of these shared an office with founder Steve Grundahl, who is our guest today. Hi, Steve, and welcome.
Thank you, David. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So Steve got early exposure to rapid prototyping technology while studying at the University of Milwaukee's School of Engineering in the early 90s. Although his exposure to this technology was during the development stage, the technology's development stage, he never lost his fascination with it. As industries began adopting it as a valid option for prototyping and product development, Steve took the opportunity to start his journey as a business owner. Fast forward to 2006, and the company had built a new 18,000 square foot facility with anticipation for future growth. In 2008, Midwest Prototyping acquired longtime competitor Manitowoc Prototypes, adding even more prototyping capacity. More acquisitions followed, leading to the ability to offer six distinct 3D printing technologies on over 40 machines with more than 40 materials available. More recently, Midwest Prototyping became part of the Prototech Group, further growing the overall AM capabilities and continuing on its acquisition strategy with Protocam. Suffice to say that now the company has massive production capabilities, and that's exactly where AM Flow comes in. Last year, Midwest Prototyping took their next step towards a fully automated additive manufacturing production plant with end-to-end production tracking and tracing by installing the AM Vision and AM Sort in the AM Flow production line at their Blue Mounds production facility. The company is one of the first clients of AM Flow using AM Flow's Vision technology. This moment marks the first step to the brand new next generation Vision and Sort. With these production modules, Midwest Prototyping can automatically recognize, sort, and route their daily volume of SLS, MJF, and SLA prints in only seconds per part. With the placement of the AM Vision and AM Sort fully MES integrated, the production workflow has become completely paperless. So also here to tell us what AM Flow can do for AM companies with large production requirements is Carlos Zicker. He has 20 years experience as an international research-based consultant and joined Philips as a strategy and insight executive in the Philips Lifestyle Incubator, a corporate venturing unit of Philips. Here, Carlos entered the additive manufacturing market in 2006 as he co-managed several startups, including AM service provider Shapeways. In 2018, he joined the management of AM Flow, where he is responsible for global sales and marketing. So apologies for that long but necessary introduction. Hello, Carlos, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, David, for having me here in this podcast.
Podcast. thank you. So let's get right into it. So, Steve, Can you help us understand exactly what kind of AM productivity is ongoing at Midwest Prototyping in terms of parts produced daily, monthly, and yearly? If that is, you can give us kind of an order of magnitude, and if you can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm happy to. As you mentioned, we've got multiple technologies, multiple machines, multiple materials. So the complexity when you start to wrap your head around all that gets large very quickly. Typical month for us right now is about 30,000 parts. So that's across SLS, SLA, MJF. We have the carbon clip technology, FDM, and then a little bit of PolyJet as well. So wide variety, lots of parts. Obviously, a lot of our parts are just one part per order if someone's doing a prototype. Others can be, a couple hundred parts per order. That's I'd say a typical range. We do get the occasional 1 and 2,000 piece orders, but typically it's very low volume, high mix, kind of throughput.
Wow, I cannot even imagine. First of all, it's fascinating to imagine all these different machines making all these different parts, but I cannot even imagine how complicated it is because I have like four machines here in my house, and it gets very messy. So Carlos, how does AM Flow cater to the growing needs of the growing number of companies producing, many thousands of different types of parts?
Great question. The main challenge for AM production facilities like that of Midwest is, and it doesn't matter whether you're a service provider or even an OEM, how to process hundreds, if not, as the case here, thousands of parts, and most of them aren't labeled. They're not tagged. You've got no way of identifying them. So the core innovation that AMFlow offers is the ability to identify any 3D printed part based on geometry. Now, that therefore helps us to put in place a process of based on a key production principle, one piece or single piece flow. So one piece flow is a lean manufacturing method that is central to improving efficiency by increasing productivity, reducing waste, boosting quality. It's also a way to control your manufacturing inventory as goods are produced according to demand and reducing work in progress. Now, one piece flow is sometimes contrasted with batch production, and with batch production, we produce in batches, but you can also follow that batch through the whole process. And that's a production philosophy we see a lot in additive manufacturing because it's all grown incremental and we're just finding out how to deal with these volumes. But the actual character, the very character of 3D printing, high mix production based on the N is one principle, just like what Steve just said, we believe it's all based or should be based on one piece flow. Ultimately, the benefit that we're working towards is cost reduction. And if we can achieve a lower cost per part by adding this automation in the workflow, taking away a lot of manual labor, more AM applications will have a viable business case and thus broadening the scope of what we can achieve with AM. Price then will work as a flywheel, not just for service providers, but for the industry as a whole. And as AM is only producing roughly about 0.5% of all plastics manufactured worldwide, there's a huge opportunity waiting for AM industry, for the likes of what Steve is putting up and other OEMs. So this is the approach in way that AM Flow offers, it aims to cater for, as you put it, the needs of the growing number of companies producing many thousands of AM parts.
I get that. Yes. So Steve, when how did you decide and what prompted you to choose AM Flow systems? These are quite unique systems. I follow the industry and also, there's not I know I noticed them because it's really a kind of a unique approach. But how did you find them? How did you d decide to implement that this would be the solution for your requirements?
That's a good question. We always try to be a little bit different. Doing the same thing as everybody else and then just trying to do it better isn't as much fun as being a little different and approaching things from a different angle. And we've been successful at, you know, taking nascent technologies, bringing them in house and, you know, developing them here under our own eyes. And this goes back, I think we brought the first machine in 3 years ago already.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I had come across an article about the Borges AM Flow group and some software they were developing, which I thought was interesting.
Sure.
So I reached out for an introductory call, and it took a couple weeks, like everybody does with our busy schedules these days. It took a couple weeks to get that first call together. And I logged onto the call, and up pops the face of Stefan Rink, who I had known from his time at Shapeways.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know he was at AM Flow. I had scheduled the call with someone completely different. Had a good relationship with Stefan, knew him. You know, we had a successful working relationship elsewhere. So that was an easy entry, you know, easy entry into the conversation.
Got it.
And, you know, from there, we brainstormed about how this could help us, you know, what direction they were intending to take with this system. Stefan is a disciple of something called quick response manufacturing. It's a methodology that's developed right here down the road from me at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Oh, wow.
And this is a methodology kind of, I don't want to say counter to lean manufacturing, but it's instead of focusing on throughput in high volume situations, this is a high mix, low volume approach to manufacturing.
Of
so
course.
We're kind of the poster child for that.
So
like so many things in business, you know, it gets started with a relationship, people you trust and people you know. And then Stefan obviously introduced me pretty quickly to the rest of his team. We hit it off well and just thought, man, this is where we need to go. We need
sure.
to solve this. And one of the key things I think you said in the introduction, we're completely paperless here.
Right.
So that's not typical in most manufacturing operations. And that goes back 10 or 12 years. We were one of the first, or maybe the first, I don't know, service bureaus in the U.S. to implement Materialize's Streamix software.
Okay.
So we've been developing that for our workflow and kind of customizing it to our site with their help over the years. And one of my goals for that initially was to eliminate the paper and the risks that come with paper travelers and, you know, the fact that that information is basically outdated as soon as you print it. You know, so our facilities here, and we've had a facility in Colorado for a few years as well, all operate off of Streamix. So everybody's looking at a database and seeing the same information, no matter where they are on the shop floor or either location. Now we look forward
awesome.
To obviously implementing that with these current and future acquisitions as well.
Awesome.
But when you're completely paperless and you take a big EOS P760 build and dump 400 parts on the table that came out of that build, we have to figure out where they're going.
Yeah.
And that's where AM Flow comes in. And
of course.
That's how we've been using it, is really to just close the loop on our production workflow and, you know, identify those parts as they're going through the QC process and getting ready to go off to either further post-processing internally or directly to our shipping department.
That's fantastic and makes a lot of sense. So, Carlos, from your point of view, how is, Midwest Prototyping an ideal partner, you know, to challenge and, I guess, push your technology?
Pretty straightforwardly, we couldn't have anything better. A lot has to do basically with this, with the mentality of Steve. I mean, he's always been attracted to new technologies, as I said, nascent technologies, trying to find things out and proving themselves, you know, dealing with that kind of new technology. So, and he took that up with us as well, as one of our launching customers. So, already there for 3 years, but also we have learned a lot from those 3 years working with Midwest, with, as already mentioned, the variability of technologies. but also post-processing. I think there are something like 65 material finishing combinations that Midwest Prototyping is producing, and you still need to be able to track and trace. And in this paperless environment, you have to have it fully digital, and that's a challenge. It's a challenge for the technology to prove itself. It's also a challenge for people to adopt it. You know, it's new technology, it's a different way of working. So let's not forget there are people on the work floor that have to buy into this, and that also happened with Midwest. So we, this early adoption by Midwest and Steve has helped us learn as quickly as we can to improve our system. And we're very grateful for that situation and the support that we're even getting up to today and most likely also in the future. So that's great. This is, and also the facilities are growing. I mean, Steve's also expanding. So this means that there's even more going on. And I think that's also typical of, if you just look at the AM industry at the moment, double digit growth. And, you know, if all things sort of go roughly in that direction, you've always got the black swans like wars and other stuff that can impact. But essentially, structurally, if you look at that industry, it's placed to grow significantly. And you're seeing that happen with Midwest. So that is something that will help us in terms of having customers like Steve and Midwest growing along with them. It's a learning curve, and we're all going through that same learning curve on how does automation actually work, and how does it benefit the end customer. At, you know, again, as I said earlier on, it's about driving costs down. This has to prove itself. It has to prove that it's driving the cost down, and ultimately that Steve can grow his business not just based on market sort of growth, but also from also competition, lowering prices, being much more relevant for the industry. All of that is going to help. And finally, this ultimately, talking about paperless environments, we're working on supporting that even further, tracking and tracing each individual part through that whole process, as Steve mentioned, whether it's internal post-processing, step one, step two, what we call the bill of material for each individual part. You know, we are going to enable customers to follow, track and trace digitally. So literally, if an auditor would come and look on a computer, show me where the part is, that we can actually showcase the parts here. This is the order. This is the client. And we know what's going to happen with that particular part on the work floor. All of this is going to hopefully support what I would call the further professionalism we're growing in that area. And let's gain that experience. And there's nothing better than gaining that experience with trusted clients like Midwest Prototyping. They're a great challenge for us, but we're also cooperating together. And that's a great way to look at it.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the complexity of this, you know, to imagine it is impressive. So Steve, how, and but also it's amazing to look how far you've come. I mean, even from you know, from the introduction, you know, how much you've grown since. And what I wanted to ask you is, how do you envision your growth now? Like, can you tell us a little bit more about how you expect that you know, your company and additive manufacturing capabilities in general will continue to evolve, and how you know, the AM flow systems can help you manage this?
Well, I think, you know, it's a natural inclination for business owners or leaders to want to grow, right? Yes. So let's assume we're going to continue to grow. And Carlos mentioned, you know, the industry seeing double-digit growth. We all know that. We all believe in this. So with the base assumption that there's growth available for all of us, for the industry in general, then we have to look at how do we become a little more mature. And I think Carlos alluded to this as well. You know, traditional manufacturing looks at additive sometimes and is amazed. And then they look at additive other times and kind of shake their heads and can't figure this out, or can't believe some of the things we're doing or still doing. So to me, this is, you know, this is part of the maturation process or an evolution from, you know, going what I, from what I would consider a shop, a workshop where we're making prototypes and doing one-off stuff, and moving more towards a factory mentality, you know, where there are processes, there are workflows, there are standards, there are all these things that, you know, across the industry, you see these efforts to kind of get us to the adult table is an analogy I use a lot, right? And that's, that's fun. It's challenging. It's frustrating at times. But I think that, you know, as we look at now with Prototech support and the additive network we're trying to build out initially across the U.S., we need these processes in place. We need repeatability. We need, you know, a consistent experience no matter the location. And that comes from software, from tools, from procedures, from all these things that AMFlow is helping us professionalize and implement, you know. And as Carlos said, they don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We're learning together as we try to figure out the proper way to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, that's kind of the amazing thing about additive. But I totally see your point, you know, about the, you know, the traditional production industries, you know, with consolidated workflows for years. And now we're really adding a whole level of complexity, but at the same time, that needs to be managed somehow. So, Carlos, can you help us understand exactly, you know, a little more about the products that you are that AMFlow offers, and how you envision that they will continue to evolve?
All right. Yeah, I'm glad to do that. But I just wanted to reflect on what just been said. Yep. I mean, that there is a thing about additive where, you know, traditional technology is looking at us and all right, so we're still in the beta room, which is fine. That's a mature environment. Let's not forget they're still innovating. Let's not forget that there's no status quo in the manufacturing environment. So although we are developing very quickly and innovating, we're up against traditional manufacturing competition that is fighting also for their position.
Course,
let's not forget
course.
That. That's sometimes we forget, you know, because we're all gung ho about double digit growth. But ultimately, you know, it's we have to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different ways in which we can and we will prove ourselves. I mentioned it earlier on about reducing price, but I guess really it's about those business cases that become viable. Once you've proven that you can design something organically or through design for additive manufacturing, that's the first step. If it delivers on the quality that's expected through that design and the printing technology, it's the next step is going to be a decision about, is there a business case to actually print it? All right. And this is what has happened in the past. A lot of the applications didn't pass the test on the business case, although they did prove themselves in the other two stages. So this is where I just wanted to add a bit of a flavor additional to what does maturity mean in our environment and what we're dealing with. Now, coming back to your original question, different products we offer and what we how we look at it from a future perspective, it sounds as if we've got a complete solution, and we believe we do have, but additive manufacturing with N is one as baseline, what you print today, tomorrow you're going to print something else. You've got no control. And automation, what we see as our business, is sort of associated with standardization. But the thing is, because you don't know what you're producing tomorrow, there is little standardization. You have to be able to deal continuously with the complexity of the output of a manufacturing environment. So all our units are basically aimed to deal with that level of complexity. We use a lot of, often, the description, the challenge of the infinity of geometry. You don't know what kind of form is going to hit you. Nevertheless, that system that we're putting together, whether it's now or tomorrow or the day after or in 10 years' time, needs still to be able to be able to process an individual part, whatever the form. And it could be big, structured, breakable, it could be anything. So coming back to what we do, so the kernel is identification, because we can identify, you can then route parts, sort them, transport them, track and trace them, et cetera, et cetera. So that is the kernel of what we do. We created that, and we also had to create our own hardware, because we found, as Steve mentioned earlier on, there was a, our baseline company, Borges, had the machine learning algorithm, the software that enables the recognition, but there was actually no, you have to have a system. So we had to build that system on our own. And we had to, and then we came up, well, let's put a sorting machine. Yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah, we've got sorting machines that can sort bulky stuff, but is there a machine that can deal with anything? No, it's not there. So we had to come up with the solution for that as well. And this is what people sometimes very easily overlook. Yep. We have to make it ready for anything. So we're trying to come up with industrialized solutions, because that's another thing. It's about industrialization. We want things with a tack time of seconds. We're not going to have time to deal with this in minutes. That, you know, the production growth, what Steve's doing, 30,000 parts, we have to move on. So it's that industrialization added on top of the complexity. So our current solution stack consists of the vision, which is geometry-based identification. We've got the AMID, which is identification based on tags, QR codes, something readable, so to speak. So we can also tackle that. We've got the AM sort. Once you're identified, you can sort them into appropriate bins. The bins go to the next step, et cetera, et cetera. We've got AM bagging, which enables you to immediately bag something, get it ready for shipping, and we label it with the information that we get from the MES system, the client, the order number, even the material batch number if you want, or a logo of a client. We can put anything on there. That's fully customizable. The AM route, which is about transport of these bins, and make that automated. And AM pick, which is a bin picking solution to place separate parts on the conveyor belt that runs into the AM vision. Now, this is something that we've got at the moment, but we're also looking at connecting with other parties in that full chain of events, from printing to unpacking and cleaning. Why can't we have something that runs from a cleaning department straight into our vision? How do you do that? How are we going to automate that? So we need to connect with those people as well. How do we connect with, for instance, a Dimension that I've got a top load, a DM60 top loader? Wait a minute, we can't automate that. We have something that needs to shove into it and come out. And how do you do that? So this is about building all these blocks so that all the process is run automated. So this is a challenge, and that's what we're working on. All right. So identification, that's a kernel. Based on that, we drive all the other things.
Yeah, that's when
we first presented. Yeah, just to finish it off. When we first presented this way back, the prototype was presented in 2018 Formnext, and once they said we can identify a part, the customers then listening and hearing this story said, wait a minute, if you can say something about that part, can you say something about the quality of that part? So already we had just initiated, we can identify parts, and we thought we were doing great. And there's this demand in the market. Wait a minute, we want to know more about the quality of the part. Can you tell us something about the surface, dimensional accuracy, all sorts of aspects? So we are now developing that as well. Towards a industrial version again, so that we can actually say something about a quality within seconds, like we're doing identification in seconds. We have to do qualification and quality assessments in seconds. These are the things we're working on at the moment, again, to industrialize the full production line. And I mentioned already earlier on track and trace, so that, you know, we can have a digital and physical tracing of each individual part. So those are the main bodies of our modules that we put out there, and we support that with specific things like conveyor belts in particular formats, for a Z conveyor for the bagging unit or a return conveyor, whatever. So that's all additional stuff, but these are the baseline modules that we put out there.
That's fine. What I was going to say is that as you speak, I can kind of visualize, right, this incredibly complex system that works with so many different aspects of those parts. But it is a challenge, and you know, that's what we do. You know, we overcome hurdles and challenges. So one thing I wanted to ask you, Steve, is over the years, what are some of the most significant hurdles you've faced in scaling AM capabilities? And of course, maybe a look at the future in that sense.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I could go on for an hour. You know, I think that one of the biggest challenges has been self-inflicted by the industry, right? And dealing with all the hype that came with 3D printing gone, you know, everybody's familiar, I think, with the Gartner hype cycle, and hopefully we're out of the trough and on that slope of enlightenment or the plateau
of growth.
it feels like it's time, and the plateau of productivity, I think they call it, right? And we're certainly seeing productivity and we're seeing opportunity.
Yeah.
So as Carlos said earlier, we know what we're printing today, or we will by the end of the day, but we don't know what we're printing tomorrow. And that just speaks to the unpredictability of this industry as a whole. Yeah. So trying to invest, you know, this is a very capital intensive business.
Sure.
And, you know, with largely unproven technologies. So the challenge, when you kind of throw all those things into the mix, you don't have a forecast, you don't have, you know, standing contracts. It's largely a walk-in business. You've got expensive, unproven equipment. And then you're trying to convince people that this is real and it's not, you know, it's not just hype.
Science fiction, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
And challenging, right? Is sort of wading through that and overcoming it. You know, I think to get a little more technical and focus in on the technology and the components themselves, the fact that we've got an industry where we've got, you know, however many different OEMs you want to count, 3D Systems, EOS, Stratasys, whatever, all with their own proprietary systems, and some are far more locked down than others. And then you get companies like Materialize and like AM Flow that are trying to sort of merge these systems to get that together and get them working in harmony. Just the challenges that come with navigating all the different softwares, and, you know, there are places, and I know all of my competitors, and I know they're all doing the same or similar things, right? I mean, we're running multiple types of software to basically accomplish the same thing,
right?
Just because we have to, if we have different equipment. And, you know, I don't want to say it's frustrating. It's reality. It's just the way it is right now. But I think we can all honestly see a better path forward.
Absolutely.
Me, that's the biggest challenge over the years is, you know, this doesn't connect with that, so now we have to have a program written to convert it, or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. No, I can't imagine how that would be, you know, it would be challenging, because there's, you know, there's so much, you know, there is a general understanding that such a young industry that is so complicated in so many different verticals, it needs to work together, right? So as much as possible, you know, but people understand that concept, but then implementing it becomes probably a lot harder.
Well, and it goes to what Carlos was saying earlier, hinted at. I mean, there has to be a business case, right? And everybody's concerned about their own business case. I get it. You know, it's just going to take some time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, because it's a growing market, there are always going to be new players, because it's still interesting to enter the market. So even dealing with the magnitude that Steve just described of different technologies, software systems, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be another one offering something new in a couple of days' time because it's a growing market. It's an opportunity. Yeah. So that it's inherent in where this market is. So although we have to work on some kind of consolidation, I'm fearing, wait a minute, it could take a couple of years because it's too attractive. It's just too attractive.
Yeah.
So we went a little bit long, but honestly, it was a really, really great conversation. I think it helped us and everybody understand, you know, where the industry is going, you know, what the challenges are. So I thank you very much for being with us. I did have a couple more questions, but we actually went through them during the conversation. So I thank you all. I thank you both for being with us, with me today. And thank everyone for listening. And, see you all, talk to you all next time.
Sounds great. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
David. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you.